Well, good evening. Greet you all in the name of the Messiah, which is interpreted, it says, the Christ. Thank you, Brother Dave, for those thoughts that you share with us. What are you seeking for tonight? And I hope it wasn't just because you wanted to hear Henry speak, because you're going to be going home pretty empty if you do that. But it's just fascinating to me to think about the Messiah. They tell me that the Messiah, the word Messiah was the Hebrew word that meant the anointed one. And of course, Christ came from the Greek word Christos, and it meant the same thing. And I like that definition I found some time ago, that it was the anointed of God to deliver people from a very bad situation. So that's what I've been trying to preach this week. I know Monday we talked about a very, very bad situation that we found ourselves in. And that was that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And Jesus came as the Messiah, as the anointed of God to deliver people from a very bad situation. So I hope that's who you're looking for this evening. That's who I'm looking for. That's who I want to worship. And that's who I want to live for, is for the Christ, the anointed one of God, that delivered me from a mess that I was in. So I greet you in his name, and I would like to start this evening with a little children's class. Unfortunately, children, I don't have an object lesson for you tonight, because I want to tell you about a story of a bicycle, and that's a little clumsy to bring here. So I'm just going to tell you, I think you all know what a bicycle is. And we're going to name this fella Mario. Mario was a young boy that he lived in Central America in the same village I lived. And I don't remember how old Mario was whenever this happened to him. But I would guess maybe 10, 11 years old. Mario had a problem with being proud. Okay, he always thought he had the nicest bicycle around, and he thought he was the smartest fella in the class or whatever. You know, those kind of things that the children kind of, we all tempted to be that way. But one time Mario had a very nice, beautiful bicycle. I remember it. It was a red and white bicycle, 20-inch tires, just a single-speed bicycle. And he liked to bike with his friends, okay? He lived close to the school, and he biked to school. And then, of course, in the afternoon, they would ride bicycles with his friends all over the little streets there in our village. And he was pretty proud of his bicycle. He was learning how to do some tricks with it, you know, like trying to drive it on one wheel. On the back wheel, you know what I'm talking about, like Papa Willie, they call it. And one day, he was going down the paved road, and he decided to show off, I guess, or at least to practice this. So he decided to get pop the wheelie and try to ride it on the back wheel. And won't you know that, unaware to him, the nuts on the front tire had come loose. And whenever he picked up the front wheel, the wheel fell off the bicycle. So the wheel started going ahead of him, and there he was, stuck without a front wheel, and he has to bring the bicycle back down, right? And he just crashed. The whole thing, he just went over the bicycle, skinned his elbows, and the front wheel kept on going down the road. And he crossed the road, and of course, he was so embarrassed, and there was an old lady walking the other direction, and she picked up the wheel for him, and she brought it to him as he was carrying the bicycle without the front wheel. And he was very embarrassed about that, right? Won't you be embarrassed of that? Yes. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about that. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So children, I want to teach you a lesson. I hope you remember from Mario that it doesn't pay to be proud. Now, it's okay if you can learn how to do tricks. That's okay. Maybe that's fine. But don't be proud about it. Can you remember that? Because you might fall as well, right? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So poor Mario, he had to learn the hard way that he should not be proud of his bicycle. Now, I want to tell you something, that Mario was not his real name. Mario is here tonight, preaching to you tonight. That was a very sad story in my life. Well, that's not the subject. I should have mentioned that this evening, that the story I had for the children is not really part of the message, or it won't go very good illustration with the message, but that's okay. That's an extra lesson we can learn. Tonight, I would like to continue a thought that we've been looking at this week, and that is the Good Shepherd and his sheep. That's kind of the theme that I wanted to keep through this week, and so far, we're staying with it. Tonight, I would like to think a little bit in a different level. We have been talking a lot about Jesus being our good shepherd, right? And that's clear. That is how it is. Jesus is our good shepherd. He is the good shepherd of the sheep, like he says in John. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." That is very true. Very true. Now, I would like to think a little bit a little different or a little beyond that. And for that, I'll tell you another story that somebody passed it on to me. I was talking to a brother that has been to Australia and New Zealand. Now, I've never been there. How many of you have been to Australia or New Zealand? Just one person here. Okay, they tell me there's a lot of sheep there. Is that true? Maybe. Okay, and at least in the area where he was at. And he said that every year or every so often they have some competitions where they get a herd of sheep, I guess you call it, right? A bunch of sheep anyway, and a fold of sheep or whatever. And they have competitions for the shepherds to herd the herd up the hill, a certain place with their dogs. And they have a certain kind of whistle or some kind of commands that they give to the dogs of what to do. And whoever does it the best or the time it, I think it is, that the person that does it the quickest gets a prize, right? Now, that would be pretty fascinating to watch. Now, in that story, we can think about, you know, you have the good shepherd or the shepherd of the sheep, and he has his dogs to do the work for him. You see? So tonight, I would like to talk, the title of the message is Shepherds Guarding the Flock. Shepherds guarding the flock. And I just would like to suggest to us that God, you have heard the saying that we are God's or Jesus' hands and feet on the earth, right? We are his hands and feet. So I would like to, I guess you're going to have to excuse the illustration, but I'd like to compare us with those dogs that do the work for the shepherd. Right? The dogs are not the owners of the flock, but they're doing the work for the shepherd. So in some sort of way like that, that's kind of what we are. We are here as under-shepherds, we call it. We are here to shepherd or help. We are co-laborers with God, the Bible says. And we are here trying to shepherd other people. Now, you have to understand that not all of us are pastors or shepherds or ordained men, but we all have influence on other people. You have, we have fathers, we have mothers that are responsible for their little flock, right? We might have some bosses here that have a business, so your employees could be kind of like your responsibility to minister to them. We have Sunday school teachers here. We even have young people here that have younger siblings. And I'm just amazed at how much influence the young people have on the children. I mean, it is amazing. Whenever I have gone to Bible school, I see some Bible school friends here that I have met at Bible school, that you will not believe. I have three young girls, okay, 11, 12, 10, 7. It's just amazing to watch them when we go to Bible school. They want to act just like the older girls act at Bible school. They want to put their sweaters just the way they put them on. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. They are learning from you. Even if you are just 17 or 18 years old, whenever you go to Bible school, you will not believe how much influence you have on the 10 and 9 and 8 years old that go to Bible school with their parents. And the same with the boys. It's just a lot of influence. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is I don't want to leave anybody off the hook tonight. Shepherds guarding the flock, it could be specifically for pastors. If it would be a pastor's conference, I would be preaching to the pastors. But this is for everybody. We all have a responsibility as we minister to other people. And I know this is might be a little different message for our revival meetings, but I believe that revival meetings can be a time for instruction. I do believe that. I do believe it's a time for instruction. It could be a time for reflection. It could be a time for repentance. And tonight is going to be an instructional message. It's to receive instruction. How can I be a shepherd to the flock? So with those preliminary thoughts, we would like to get started. Now, I want you to know, and you probably know this already, that the word pastor and shepherd are basically the same thing. In the Spanish language, we only have one. It's pastor. Pastor is how we say it. And it's the same spelling as the English word, pastor. We don't have a pastor and a shepherd. It's the same word. In my mind, it's the same thing. In the dictionary, it looks like it's the same thing. And a shepherd is one that has the care of flocks and herds. A guardian, a keeper, specifically a minister having the charge of a church. We call him a pastor or a minister. So remember, we all have a responsibility. Whoever you influence, I want you to think, whoever you influence, that is your flock. Tonight, that's why we're going to talk through this. And just in case you said, well, I don't have anybody under me, I don't have anybody, any sheep that I'm responsible for, you can at least listen and learn, because you're going to apply very soon if you don't. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. The first thought that I would like to emphasize tonight is that the shepherd, we have a responsibility to guard the sheep. And here in Ezekiel chapter 34, we found some tremendous words from God. I'm going to read verse 1 through 10 here in Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search to seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And I just want to emphasize, this passage is just emphasizing that responsibility that we have as shepherds. And woe unto us if we don't take our responsibility seriously. Either as parents, I'm going to be talking a lot to the parents tonight and to the church leaders as well. And for all of you, I already told you I don't want anybody off the hook tonight. But it's a tremendous responsibility. And you should notice that young people or any of the congregation, maybe you struggle with your leaders. I don't know what that relationship is here between the congregation and the leaders. Sometimes I feel like we have some kind of wall between us. I hope that's not the case. But I just want you to recognize that whoever is responsible for you, they have a tremendous responsibility. Just at least notice that. And we might preach a message on that some other evening, Lord willing. But first of all, remember, there's tremendous responsibility to guard the sheep. Okay? This is plain here in Ezekiel chapter 34. Point number two, there are dangers around us. We talked about that last night, didn't we? About the thief that comes. John chapter 10, verse 11 and 12 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. Put it plain, right? If you have a person, a hireling, they're not going to be putting their life on the line for some sheep. They say, I don't care if I don't get paid tonight, but I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to be tackling a wolf. Right? Now, what did David do? David was a tremendous good shepherd. Now, he took care of his father's sheep. And he was a responsible young man. And he was a good steward of the sheep of his father. You remember what David did? He said in 1 Samuel 17:34, it says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him. Listen carefully. He already has the lamb on his jaws, but David said, I went after him and smote him and deliver it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him without a 7mm or 08, by the way, or whatever, a 270 Magnum, whatever you want to shoot. He grabbed him by the jaw or the beard of the lion. Now, how many of you want to do that? And what did David carry? A stick, as a rod, a staff, and a slingshot. And I don't know what else he had. I hope he at least had a knife, right? But he went and caught the danger. He went and faced the danger and delivered the lamb out of his jaws. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Wow. My point is simply that we live in very perilous times. The Bible says that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. There are many dangers today that the sheep face. And we talked a few of them yesterday, last night. And you as a shepherd, you as a father, you as a church leader, you as a mother to your daughters, to your children, you need to be willing to face the danger. And you need to be willing to stand to the plate and do something about the dangers that they face. Now I have simply probably three pretty big dangers that we face, that we need shepherds to help in these three different areas, just three different ones, okay? Number one is despair. Despair. You probably scratch your head a little bit and say, what in the world is that? But despair is simply whenever somebody loses hope, they fall into despair. Okay? And today in our society, and even in our lives, even among our children, even among our churches, there's people that are in despair. They have lost hope for the future. They have tried and nothing works. And we need somebody as a shepherd to walk alongside them. It could be a multitude of things. It could be a broken marriage. It could be a broken courtship. It could be that a young man has asked a girl three times and they all say no and they wonder, what in the world is wrong with me? And they are in despair, right? It could be that some of us are struggling with some inherent thing in our lives or inherent sin or besetting sin, the Bible says, and we can't get over that, and we are about to fall in despair and say, how in the world can I overcome this? Or maybe you feel like Job today. You remember what happened to Job. Everything he had went to pieces in one day, apparently. Even his family was killed in a motorcycle accident. Not motorcycle accident. What in the world? Motor vehicle, not even a motor vehicle. They all died. They all died in one day. And what? And maybe you are that person tonight that are, your life is just a wreck. And you are, how can I get out of this? You see the picture? Some time ago, it's been a few years ago, I had the privilege to go to Nicaragua. Now, I told you I'm from El Salvador. And I flew to Nicaragua. They had invited me to preach a week of revivals there. And if you notice in the map of Nicaragua, on the northern part of Nicaragua bordering Honduras, there is nothing. It's all jungle. And the big city of Managua, the capital of Nicaragua, is to the southern part, close to the Pacific Ocean. And of course, I got on the plane, and I knew there's nothing out there, and I started just watching out the window, and it was all a dark green forest down there. I mean, thousands, probably millions of square miles. They tell me, maybe not millions, but thousands. They said that the Amazon forest jungle covers over 2 million square miles. Well, Nicaragua is smaller, definitely, but let me tell you, there was nothing there. Once in a while, you see some rivers. Now, I started thinking, what would happen? You know how your mind plays tricks on you, right? I had been away from my family for a whole week, and I'm about to go back to them, and I'm like, man, Lord, don't let this plane crash in this jungle. But I started imagining that sort of scenario, right? What would happen if this thing would crash in the middle of the jungle, and I'm here in the middle of thousands of square miles with no knife, no matches? Maybe I'm the only survivor of the plane, and I'm all wounded, and I don't know how to get out of here. And this is devastating. Now, you get the bleak picture, right? That's a pretty sad picture. That's a dark picture. And I'm over there in the jungle, and there's tigers, and I don't know what all they have there. And I am the only survivor. How will you get out of a situation like that? Well, brothers and sisters, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice? You probably won't blame me if I would just sit on a log and cry, right? You won't blame me, right? Would you? I mean, I don't know how to get out of here. No GPS, no map. How will you ever get out of a place like that? Well, there's at least three things that you need to get out of a jam like that. The first thing would be nice to get is somebody will show up. There will be somebody will show up, preferably a Miskito Indian. Those are the indigenous people that live in those areas. They're called Miskitos. Not mosquitos, but mosquitos. Okay? Don't get them confused. It would be nice if I find me a mosquito indigenous person. Preferably that would be friendly, right? And say, man, don't be crying. Don't be crying. We'll get you out of here. And hopefully he has a machete along. That would be helpful. And yeah, you will feel a lot better, right? Now you have somebody with you. But not just anybody will do it, because we need somebody that has a vision how to get out of here. And said, this is not the end. This is a better place. Someone to cheer you up, to lift up your spirits. And it would be nice if that person would know the way. Would know the way how to get out of there. Can you imagine how you will feel? And that's, you're still at the same spot. I'm still at the airplane wreckage, right? But I will feel totally different. Totally different. Loneliness will give way because now you have a companionship. Desperation starts leaving because now you have a vision. We're going somewhere. We're getting out of here. Even if it takes us 2 or 3 months to walk out of here, but we're going to get out of here. You see? And then, of course, you are as confused as you were before, because now you have a sense of direction of where you're going. And this is exactly what Jesus does for us. Okay? First of all, the good shepherd of the sheep wants to give you restoration of your soul. That's what David said whenever he was quoting Psalm 23, and he was probably singing this over and over. He says, he restoreth my soul. That's what he means. Your soul, it was in despair, and now it was restored. He gave you hope. And the Bible talks about the hope being as an anchor of our soul. Remember what we talked about on Monday night? If whenever we are dead in spiritually, you are without God, without hope, without Christ, being Gentile, foreign to the promises of God. That is desperation. But Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, has come and rescued us from that very bad situation. Now, me and you are supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Can we do that for others as well? Now, I can't save you from your sins. I cannot do that. But I can put my arm around you, and we can pray together, and we can continue to find our way through life. And that's what we need. We need shepherds. We need fathers that will do that. We need mothers that will do that. Give us direction. Remember, we're still in the jungle. We haven't gotten out of the jungle yet. Fathers, I want to challenge you. Walk with your children in their struggles of life. Put your arm around them. Help them to navigate this jungle of immorality and sensuality that we live in today. Help them not to fall in despair and give in to the pressures of our society. You've been there. You've been a young person before. You know the struggles that we have. Put your arm around them and tell them that we're going to get through together. We'll be get through together, brother. You can do that for others in the congregation. Pastors, we need to be staying close to our people. You know what the good shepherd does? There in John chapter 10, he says that the good shepherd, he knows my sheep. Say, I know my sheep and are known of mine. And I don't know how to tackle this situation. As a pastor, I'm a horrible pastor. I don't understand why God has called me to be a pastor if I can't do a very good job at it. And you know how life is. Life is busy. We all have to work for a living. We all have families. We all have all kinds of meetings to go to. Maybe y'all don't have school board meetings here. That was kind of new to me. That would be kind of neat. Or maybe y'all get involved in other schools, school board meetings, whatever the case. But let me tell you something. We need to spend more time with our people, getting to know where they at, What are they struggling with? Yes, we do need to. Mothers, do you know what your daughters are struggling with? Do you know what are they facing? Do you know what your boys are facing? Do we know what our girls, our daughters are facing? Do we know? Stay close to those people. Show that you care. And do that as, you can do it as a pastor, you can do it as a brother. Right? The Bible specifically says that the older women should teach the younger women. The older men should be teaching the young men too, I think. They've been there. Can you be the pastor? Can you be a person that you care for other people? You remember what Theodore Roosevelt said? Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Too bad he didn't care too much about the Anabaptist people, but that's beside the point. That's a good quote that he had. Visit them. I don't know how you're going to take time to do that, but let's try our best. Maybe take him out to eat. Develop a friendship with your people. Pastors, develop a friendship with your people. Mothers, develop a friendship with others. We all need to do this. This is not just for the pastors, okay? I told y'all we're not going to be letting anybody off the hook. I remember when Brother Eli Glick came to our house, where it was my grandma's house, when my dad was shot on the leg by the thief. I didn't get a chance to tell you that story yet. Maybe I can do it one of these days, but the thieves came and shot my dad on the leg. They thought he had a gun, and they squeezed the trigger ahead of time, and thankfully it did not kill him. But his leg was pierced through with a bullet. And when he was in the hospital, I was pretty young. I was about 12 or 13 years old, and I never felt so scared in my life. And you know what the pastor did? He came and read Psalm 23. And I still remember that evening, that night. And Psalm 23 was very dear to me for all these years because of that. What are the things that people face? We already talked about despair. Give them hope. Second thing that we all face is enemies. We already talked about that last night. And David said these words in Psalm 23, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." That is fascinating. As I was studying about this, we can learn something from the shepherds. We sure can. David is thinking here when the shepherds are taking the sheep to the highlands in search of green pastures, the meadows and all those low places they were already eaten. They were grazed, overgrazed, so they had to move over to the higher lands. And he found a pasture, and he'll look it over. Is there any signs of bears? Is there any signs of lions here? He will look for poisonous plants. There was a certain kind of plant that if the sheep will eat it, it will die. So the shepherd was constantly looking for this. And I pushed the pause button right there. I was in Wyoming this last summer. And won't you know, they told me that the cowboys out there with their graze hundreds of acres, there's a certain plant out there that's poisonous. And the cowboys carry some kind of antidote that if they see a cow, a head of cattle, struggling with something, they can give it an antidote before they die. I thought about this right away. You know, that's amazing. I would have made a very bad cowboy, right? I don't know what to look for, but maybe I could learn about that. But that's beside the point. The shepherd is looking for these things. He was looking for round holes in the ground where poisonous snakes lived, and they could bite the sheep on the nose and cause them sickness or sometimes cause death. The shepherd would pour oil in these holes. That way make it extra slippery for the snakes to come out and make it a little bit harder for them to bite the sheep. And they would put oil on the sheep's nose to repel these snakes. In essence, he was preparing a table for the sheep in the presence of their enemies. And you can think about all those times that we have been in the presence of danger, in the presence of enemies, and God has provided a table for you. Can you do the same for your people? Can you do the same for your families? You see, there's many dangers. We already talked about that. And it's your responsibility as fathers. I'm going to put this responsibility on us fathers, because we're supposed to be the leaders of the house, the leaders of the homes. It is our responsibility to look out for dangers. Don't just wait on the ministry. Don't just wait on the pastors. Don't just wait on the Pilgrim Mennonite Conference to identify dangers. If you see dangers for your family, take action. Get a hold of that lion by the beard and how do you say it? Slaughter him. Kill him. Destroy him. Stop him. It's your responsibility. How old is your child going to be until you hand him a smartphone? What kind of capabilities a smartphone is going to have whenever you pass it on? How old is going to be your daughter? Do you allow her to have Facebook? Or not Facebook, but what is the other thing? WhatsApp. What kind of books are you going to allow in your home? What kind of music are you going to allow? In all these things, it's our responsibility to look out for the enemy. And it is our responsibility. Young people, what are you teaching your younger siblings? You see, your younger siblings, you probably have more of an impact in your younger siblings than mom and dad will, believe it or not. That's hard to believe it, but take it seriously. Don't be a bad example. Be an example worthy to follow. Be a shepherd. Be a shepherd. And the last thing that we struggle with that we need shepherds is with hurts. We talked about despair, we talked about enemies, and we're talking about hurts. And David said these words, that thou anointest my head with oil. And this is pretty hard. Sometimes, let me get there. Let's start here. Shepherds use oil for three purposes: to repel insects, to prevent wounds, and to cure wounds. So it was a healer thing. He said that studying about the sheep and the shepherd anointing with oil, said that there were some insects that could kill the sheep, especially one, some kind of fly, that he said that he would like to get into the soft membrane of the sheep's nose, and they will go in there and will lay eggs in there, and of course the eggs hatch, and they became a larva inside of their nose membrane. Now, you know the sheep don't have fingers like we do to scratch our nose. They have hooves. So they said that the sheep would go crazy. There were sometimes they were so desperate to get relief from this little thing bothering them that they would bang their heads against a rock, against a tree, against anything they could find. And in some cases, it would cause death to them. So whenever the sheep saw a swarm of flies, they said they're going crazy. They went running. They went all over the place. So what did the shepherd do? The good shepherd would do and anoint the sheep with oil to repel these kind of insects, so it will not cause so much damage. That's what they did. And that's probably what David thought whenever he was talking about the Lord being his shepherd. They anoint his head with oil. In all his hurts, in all these things that bother him, God was anointing him. They also, the shepherds, will anoint the ram's heads during mating season, because they would butt heads fighting for the sheep. You knew that the rams do that, is what they tell me. And he will put oil on their heads so that whenever they were butt heads, they would be a little slippery, and it will not cause so much damage. But with all the preventions, the sheep will get wounds. So the shepherd was constantly checking the animals in search for wounds to put oil on them to prevent further damage. And I don't know if you have made any spiritual applications yet. The insects are small things, but it could be destructive for the sheep. Many little things that tend to bother us. I'm a little closer to the sheep than a lot of people. There's a lot of little things that bother me. And it bothers us. And it will eat us up. Maybe some comment that you overheard. And maybe you're suspicious that somebody doesn't like you. And they said something, and that's why they said it, because they don't like me. They just gave up on me. They treat me as an enemy. And all those things, maybe something that the preacher said, and he was throwing rocks at me. I know he was. He was preaching at me. And I hate that because it bothers me, right? Does that sound familiar? Maybe it doesn't. There's all kinds of things that want to lay an egg on us, right? And drives us crazy. We can't be at peace. We can't sleep. And we must learn how to help each other as a sheep to get over, to get healing. There's a couple of things that we can do. I just want to encourage you. One of the things as pastors that we could do is know each other by name, okay? Treat each other by name. Develop and learn the art of listening. I've been convicted with this for a good while now. You know how we are. We like, especially as for men, we like to come up with solutions. And God made us that way. I believe that He did. You know, you go to a school board meeting and we're treating an issue at school, your mind is thinking, how can I fix this? What solution are we going to come to? How can we get a consensus? Okay, brother, what do you think about this? And you say what you think we should do, right? And I have started to learn the hard way that sometimes we need just to listen, not at the school board. I'm talking now whenever somebody wants to talk to you, right? Somebody is struggling. Maybe somebody is being hurt by other people. And of course, they're going to give you their side of the story. And I want to tell them, listen, you're telling me your side of the story. The other side of the story says something different. I hope and pray that God will give us wisdom to know when to keep our mouth closed and listen. And just listen to what they're saying. And to understand why do they feel the way they do. Why are they saying that? Maybe there's a deeper problem. Maybe it would be that we didn't quite get the whole story straight from the other side. But the Lord help us to have a listening ear. It's so easy for me to, okay, black and white. This is wrong. Boom. Fix it up. We can do that at the shop, right? The brakes are not working. We'll put new brakes on and that problem is solved. It's not that simple with sheep. It's not that simple with our fellow people. With your children, listen to them. What is small to you, it might be a big thing for them, right? Listen to them. Here in Colossians, it says, put on therefore us the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I read these verses in the context of relating to each other. Okay? We need to be like the shepherd that will put oil on the ram's head to keep it from building up friction. Okay? We are, as brothers, we don't see eye to eye on things. We all have different opinions. We all have different backgrounds. And it's so important that we remember that we don't agree on everything. We're not going to see everything eye to eye. And may God help us as we navigate relationship problems. with the oil of God's love. Maybe we can pour charity. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Love is the oil that lubricates to prevent heat built up from friction. And hurts, we all have hurts. We all have experienced them. And God wants to pour on us his healing oil through others. Through others. That's what is amazing to me. How is God doing his work today is through you and me. Jesus said these words, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight of to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Brothers and sisters, can we do that? I think God has entrusted us the ministry of reconciliation. It saddens my heart to see how many relationship problems we have in our churches. And it seems like we can't get over that. And it seems like there's people that have been hurt for 25 years and they're still carrying that along. When would they find healing? How would they find healing? Maybe they need somebody to talk to. And that list, I could give you a whole list of different hurts. How we get hurt. And brothers and sisters, may God help us as we put our arm around each other and say, brother, I'm here. You care to share? Go ahead and share. May God help us to be the shepherds that he wants us to be. You and I are shepherds of the sheep. We are called to be Jesus' agents here on earth to carry out his ministry. And I think it's worth learning all the tricks to the trade from the Lord Jesus. May God help us. And I should have mentioned this before we started the message, that I was going to open it up for any testimony that you would have, or maybe you have a question or something you would like to add to the message. And I didn't give you a warning ahead of time, but they tell me the Lancaster people are quick to think. And so I will open it up. If you have a question or a testimony you would like to share, you're welcome to do so. If not, that's okay. Remember that we need to be shepherds, and may God help us. Be a shepherd guarding your flock for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand for a closing prayer.